L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. Going to be joined by Preds defenseman Matthias Ekholm coming up later this hour at 9:30. So looking forward to that conversation with Ekholm. Flannel Fred on Twitter tweets in, says, just tuned in for the first time in forever, and within a couple minutes, y'all are talking about Dave Matthews Band. I've been gearing up for tour season the last few weeks. Going to see him at Huntsville's new amphitheater in less than 3 months. Hashtag number 27. People see him a lot.
Yeah, but I'm concerned about the first time in forever, Flannel Fred.
Yeah, welcome back,
Flannel. Explain yourself, Flannel Fred.
Welcome COVID. Back, Flannel. Oh, first time in forever, no, our show. I thought he meant the concert.
Tuned in, yeah.
Welcome back,
Flannel. Welcome
Fred.
Back.
Meanwhile, Gover's got some sweet pictures of the fam at a Dave concert. That's awesome. McGillney's first DMB show. That is sweet.
Yeah.
Also, real quick, you know, on my own text line, the Pogster mentions that, yes, title track, Close to the Edge, was 18 minutes long and took the whole side of an album.
Yeah.
Also, Dave Matthews' saxophonist lives here, of course, Jeff Coffin. So
probably hangs out with Scott Stapp. Probably playing like some dive bar together.
Dude, if he saw Scott Stapp, he'd probably run down the street. Like, I do not want those vocals mixed in with my beautiful saxophone
You're
playing.
Scott Stapp, again, we love you here on the show. Do not let Rex Road convince you otherwise.
I'm treading probably on Danny. He could probably kick my butt. I should probably stop ripping
could.
Him. But maybe I get John Oates is pretty buff, though. I'd probably get John Oates as a bodyguard.
Friend of the show.
That's right. Friend of the show, John Oates. Maybe we can have Jeff Coffin on.
Maybe
talk a little DMB.
What a game last night between the Predators and the Panthers. The Preds get it done. They win 6-4 last night. Tied it up three times last night. Ultimately go on to win. Just your thoughts on that game itself and what this win could mean for the Predators as they move forward. Because, man, was that entertaining last night.
It was. It was a very fun game. Intense game. You could tell. Like the Colorado game a few weeks ago, like you could just tell. Well, it just meant more, you know, than your typical one of 82. And for it's the biggest win of the year to me for the Preds to end the streak, to get yourself sort of leveled out here before all this big, important, memorable stuff that's about to happen, and also to win at a place where the home team was 23-3, to beat a team that is the best offensive team in the league. With your backup goalie and have to come back time and time again and have a goal disallowed and still come back and keep fighting and get a shorty from your rookie who now has 17 goals. There's just a lot to it that you're like, oh, wow, that's big for this team.
I said it yesterday on the show. You know, it was, to me, maybe a test of, you know, how deep can you dig in order to keep yourself in the game and to give yourself a chance to win. And I didn't anticipate it going quite like that. I mean, they dug real deep last night. It was impressive, really, on all fronts last night. You get UC Saros some rest. I think that comes at a pretty good time for him to get some rest, both physically and mentally as well. Riddick comes in there, and, you know, I thought he made some big saves in the game. You know, he gives up four goals, which you look at and you just start to wince a little bit, and then you realize, well, he did have 46 shots on goal that he faced. So it was a busy night for David Riddick. But I was just impressed with the attitude from this Predators team of, all right, we're down. We got to make a play. And they had several guys step up last night. I thought Trennan was awesome last night. I thought he played really well. Obviously, Tanner Jeannot making a big play on the shorthanded goal. It really is hard to believe that was the first shorthanded goal of the season for the Predators, 50 games in. But it was first shorthanded goal for the Predators.
Yeah, Johnny asked earlier on Twitter, is that a record?
It might be.
Could be, right? I mean, you know, randomly, maybe not, but there can't be many seasons in Preds or any team's history that you're getting into the 50s before you have a shorthanded goal.
I wouldn't think so. I mean, usually there's a tough hop involved somewhere along that creates a breakaway, which, I mean, that's basically what happened last night. But, you know, Jeannot finishes off. But, yeah, crazy that that was the first shorthanded goal. Could not have come at a better time, though, for the Nashville Predators. Big plays by him. Obviously, Josi. I said it earlier. I listed, like, basically every player on the roster last night before I listed Mikael Granlund, and he scored the game-winning goal and played 22 minutes. And then there's Colton Sissons going 16 for 16 in the faceoff circle. I have never seen anything like that. I've never seen anyone do that.
So, first time that's happened in Preds history. I'm quoting Nick Barnowski on that. And fourth time in the league since 97 that you've had, you know, that many and never lose a faceoff. So you got him doing that, and you got Trennan all over the place, and you've got Jeannot doing what he did. And I know in different situations, you know, Jeannot on the penalty kill. But, again, that line comes up huge in the biggest moments.
And by the way, Philip Forsberg, one goal, two assists last night. He was buzzing around last night. He was all over the place. Good to see number nine playing that way. I mean, you know, he went through like a three-game stretch without scoring, and it was like, oh, boy, is this about to be it? No, he's still playing pretty well.
I guess now it's like, when is Duchesne going to score again?
Yeah.
That's especially if I pick him on Preds Pick to Click. But, yeah, it's there's a lot to like about what they did last night in a tough spot, and maybe there's some positive impact. I'm not so sure. Like, if they lost last night, you know, I'd still probably like them to come out on fire Thursday against Dallas.
Yeah,
it's just a different on fire now. It's not quite you have to win this game, but it's still very important.
They need to approach it that way.
Yeah, I mean it's still very important. It's still going to be a case of handling all the stuff around the, you know, the game, of course, the really cool stuff that I'm sure a lot of those guys are going to probably really be impacted in the hour-long Pecorine extravaganza. I mean, again, this is their friend. It's not some old guy coming back like when the Oilers came back to the Titans this year. You know, Warren Moon and, hey, it's great. Billy White, Sue Johnson, great to meet you guys. And, man, we really appreciate you. Now, this is like your teammate. This is your guy getting honored Thursday night.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam from Portland. Adam, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, man. So I was watching that last night. Number one, I had no idea that Florida – I guess I just don't pay as good attention to the whole league as I do the Preds, but I had no idea they had lost in that building in 2.5 months. And so for a team on the road to come back that way, I think I need to change my stance on Forsberg. I was under the impression like we could shut that guy off, get three good players for him. Now I don't think you could do that because he's so impactful, and I think he would just wreck the team if you got rid of him right now. So I'm wondering what they could possibly do to improve, because I don't think they're where they need to be, but I don't really know who you could subtract, you know, unless you're just wanting to get rid of your future and give up picks for the next 10 years. I don't know who you could subtract to try to get better players. And I was going to see if y'all could help.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, it's interesting, and that kind of goes back to the discussion where a lot of Preds fans just want to see them do nothing at the trade deadline and see what they have and let Tomasino continue to develop. I still, like, if I'm David Poile and the standings are what they are right now and that's you're in a playoff spot, I mean, number one, you're trying to get Philip Forsberg signed to a contract, but number two, I still don't hate the idea of maybe looking around the edges of a Cali Yarncroke-type player. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be him, but just looking around the edges and filling in holes that way, because I still think they can get better on Johansson's line. I still think they can get better on the fourth line. So I hear the don't do anything, just leave it alone explanation that Predators fans have. I'd be looking to add at least one piece if I'm the Predators.
How many teams actually stand pat at the deadline? It's got to be the lowest number, right?
Yeah, it's rare.
By far.
Or at least
most teams at least do a little add here or there.
I will say
or a little sell here or there.
I don't know how many teams intentionally stand pat at the deadline. Sometimes you're pursuing something and it just doesn't work.
Right. But even counting them, just don't do anything.
It's rare if you're in contention.
It doesn't happen that often. So I think that's what's going to happen. And you say a player like Cali Yarncroke. I say a player exactly named Cali Yarncroke.
Yeah, well,
I continue to be on the Rex Croke train.
If that happens,
bring him back.
Credit.
Bring him home. Yeah, I give you credit.
So you hand me part of the contract.
First time I even thought of it. David Poyle may not have been, you know, David Poyle was probably listening that day.
He said, you know what?
If he makes the move, and he was listening that day, listen to you say it,
yeah,
and is acting on your advice. Usually, he takes Jared's advice. In this case, took your advice.
Yeah. I got a texter that says, the Rangers retired Lundqvist jersey. The Rangers lost the game. Dallas retired a jersey. The Stars lost that game. I think it was Sergei Zubov they retired. Can the Preds break the trend? It is interesting how these games, like, sometimes, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to go the Predators' way for this to be a memorable night. I mean, it's Pecorino, no. It's separate from the game itself. But it is interesting how these type things, like Lundqvist is a similar situation to Pekka. Like, it's not been that long since he was a member of the Rangers. I'm interested to see how this plans out.
Well, and the Titans know this well, too. You know, the Eddie George McNair day.
Oh, yeah. Led by the field turning on fire.
Right. You start out, yeah, you get the fields on fire, and then you know, you lose the game. And right, one of those big days where you're like, yeah, Mariota's probably not going to be the quarterback, down the road. So I think you've also – I mean, certainly there are teams that win on nights that they retire jerseys and numbers. So I don't know how much of it – that'd be a great stat, actually. Just like the stat of how many teams actually do zero at the trading deadline in the NHL. What is the overall record in sports for teams that have a jersey retirement or something like that?
I'm sure like Elias Sports or somebody can look this up.
There's got to be a website for this.
Dylan on the text line says, I just want to say 6 p.m. starts are worse than 9 p.m. starts. I missed half the first period trying to get home from work in terrible Nashville traffic in the rain. At least for 9 p.m. starts, you can just go right to bed when the game is over. This is coming from Dylan on the text line. I will say for our purposes, 6 p.m. starts pretty great.
Yes. Big fan of 6 p.m. starts. Yeah.
And we have to get up 4
and get up early. I mean, that's the thing. You know, we just last segment had Belmont, too. I mean, it's too bad for, like, you know, like Belmont, Murray State has to be at the same time as this. But it does start at 8. So the phone on press row will be rolling with Belmont, Murray State while the hockey plays out below.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators. What did last night's win show you about this Predators team? Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Speaking of the Predators, the all-new Paint the Town Preds pack presented by Yeehaw Brewing and Old Smoky is available. You can purchase the pack and receive 2 weekend game tickets, plus 1 weeknight game ticket of your choice, plus receive a Preds car flag, a $25 Yeehaw Brewing Company gift card, and the opportunity to purchase 2022-23 season tickets as well. So visit nationalpredators.com/paint to secure yours today. Get your Paint the Town Preds pack today and score your own hat trick, Smashville. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Make sure you join 102.5 The Game this Saturday night for the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade. You can have drink specials, enter to win Preds tickets, and watch the Preds take on the Tampa Bay Lightning at Nissan Stadium. It's the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. The puck drops at 6:30 on Saturday night. So if you can't make it out to the game, come on out to the Preds Bud Light Watch Party. We're right there across the river from it.
Sounds good.
It does sound good. You talking about that or the song coming back in?
That sounds pretty good, too. Not one of my favorites, but whatever. I'm not going to complain.
Joe's a big deep cut.
Joe's like, I'm not going to complain, yet I don't actually like it.
Yes. It's fine.
This is terrible, but I will not complain.
No, it's good. It's good.
We will have Matthias Ekholm coming up at 9:30. Looking forward to that conversation. We'll get his thoughts on a wild win last night for the Nashville Predators. Shane from Ashland City on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, grit and chemistry, the will to not give up, and the chemistry for everyone to jump in and feel the same. That was part of it last night. It just kind of felt like watching the game. They were on the ropes time and time again, then they tie it, and then they're right back on the ropes with how Florida would respond. And it just kind of felt like the Predators looked around and said, you know what? We're not losing this game. It's not going to happen. And they made it happen for themselves last night. Now, you know, it's one thing to say that after you have big wins like that. I'm sure that there are many times where they look around and say, hey, we're not losing this game, and then they lose the game because that happens a lot in professional sports. But I thought the response last night, each time it looked like the game may slip away from them, the Predators had an answer, and that was impressive.
Yeah. I mean, you do that a lot, and you fight, and you still come up short. And So it wouldn't be all that impressive right now had they not made the plays to win, but they fought. I think that they've, you know, through the losing streak, they've made a lot of mistakes, but it's not like it's been some breakdown of, well, identity, which is used a lot, or, you know, like style of play. I mean, you know, they just haven't been at their best. They executed, you know, with some huge plays in this game, and we'll see if that translates now. Does that serve as a stopper, and now they start going the other way? I mean, you still have tough games here coming up, and which of these games would be more important for them to win? Thursday, probably?
Just because of the race?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be more impressed with Saturday. Like, if you can take down Florida and Tampa in the same week, that's a heck of a stretch there for you.
Yeah. It was a bad question because obviously the standings matter. I guess in terms of just when you look at as being part of an event, which matters more to win?
I think Stadium Series.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I mean, you want to win both, obviously, and you want to win when you retire Pecorine's jersey. But to me, like, retiring Pekka's jersey is like separate of the game, right? There's the ceremony itself is about him and about the accomplishments that he's had. He's the greatest player in franchise history, all these things. All that's great. But to me, the game's kind of separate from that. You know, the outdoor game is a lot of fun. I will say a lot of Predators fans got soured by the outdoor game because they lost the game the last time they were down there in Dallas. You know, it's an event. It's going to be fun either way. You don't want to go out and lose 5-1 to Tampa on Saturday either. So I would pick Stadium Series.
Yeah. They're both they're both big, and it's still like I don't know that last night has any impact on how they play in these games, but probably how they like enjoy all the lead up to the next game is a little bit different now, right?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, you know, imagine going into the game tomorrow. You got all these different things going on, and then, oh, by the way, hey, guys, we've lost 5 games in a row. We got to get out of this at some point. You still – I think there needs to still be a level of desperation there. Like, tomorrow's a big game. Depending on what happens tonight with the Stars, I mean, you could be looking at the standings tomorrow, and they could be 6 points behind you, or they could be 4 points behind you. And if you lose that game, all of a sudden they're 2 points behind you with
a game in hand.
With a game in hand. So – the desperation level to me still needs to be there, but it is, I think, a little bit different. There's a weight off your shoulders now of, all right, we won, and not only did you win, I think in this case, who you beat matters too, and it was a Florida team that's really, really good. I think it is a little bit of a different approach now. Or not approach, different mindset coming into the game.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to be desperate. You want to play desperate. You don't necessarily want to be desperate.
Right. Let's go back to the text line. Nate texting in says, are you concerned the team will be too high tomorrow at the beginning of the game after yesterday's win? And does last night prove to you that the Preds can win a shootout, or did they need to show more high-score wins? To answer the first question, yes, I would be concerned about them maybe having too much energy and maybe being a little bit too amped up.
Right to the box.
Regardless of the result last night, just based on I do think the Pekka ceremony will have them ready to play.
Yeah,
I think they'll be ready to play. As far as the shootout thing is concerned, like, I don't think the formula for the Predators to continually win games is let's try to go 6-5 with people. Like, I don't know that – can you do it every now and then? Sure. I mean, I think they've proven that to this point. I think the better formula for the Predators is let's muck things up. Let's play really sound defensive hockey. Let's be physical. And let your playmakers take over and make a few plays for you a game. Like, I don't know if the Predators – should be all that comfortable going, trying to be 6-4 every night.
No. But, I mean, you going into Florida with Riddick and goal, I mean, honestly, if you said the Preds are going to give up 4 goals in this game, you probably would have taken that.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's how explosive that team is, especially in that building. And then, again, goaltender. So, you know, I probably would have picked them to lose 4-3, you know, going into it if someone told me that. So, but, yeah, for the most part, they want to play more 3-2 games and win them.
They do. Now, on the flip side, to Nate's point, I think as you get into the playoffs, the idea that every game's going to play out the same way is not realistic to me. Like, you're going to have to win. If you're going to make any type of playoff run, like, think back to 2017. If you're going to make any type of playoff run, you got to win games different ways. You're going to have to come back and win some games. You're going to have to be able to protect the lead in some games. There's some games you're going to win 5-1, and it's going to look easy. Like, there are different ways that you're going to have to win. in the playoffs. So from that standpoint, I guess showing that you have the ability to come back in games, which, by the way, that's not a last night thing. They've come back a lot this year. They've been really good at, you know, being down 2-0 and fighting and scratching and clawing their way back in the game. So I think they've probably proven that to themselves at this point. But I do think the ability to win games in different ways can do nothing but help you down the stretch.
No doubt. And, yeah, and this is another difference between this team, too. If you want to compare it to recent versions where there were times when it just, again, not quitting, not giving up, but you saw the collective win leave the sails a little too easily at times. And that's another thing that they've figured out and improved on here recently.
The over-under last night on the game was 7. And I thought to myself, ooh, that's a pretty high over-under heading into the game. Ended up with 10. Mm-hmm. So Vegas knows.
Hope you took the over.
I didn't touch it.
Or I hope whoever out there.
Took the over.
Yeah.
I said this earlier. I hope this does not get lost in the shuffle, because I think we've come to expect it from him to a certain degree at this point. A goal and an assist last night from Josi. 53 points, 49 games as a defenseman. He might end up scoring 20 this year, 20 goals, and he might end up around 82, 85, maybe 90. Like, he could end up around over a point per game player as a defenseman, which is just absurd.
By the way, what's the single season points record? Do you know
for
off the top of your head? No, for anybody.
Oh, single season points record for the Predators?
Yeah.
85. Paul Kariya.
That's Kariya. Yeah. Okay.
Like, what if Roman Josi as a defenseman breaks the single-season points record?
He's on pace to do it.
It could happen.
With ease.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty nuts what he's doing right now. And, you know, again, we know what Roman Josi is. We know how good he is. But if he ends up with, like, 85 points this year as a defenseman, it's freaking absurd.
Yeah, and then doesn't win the
and
Norris.
And then doesn't win the Norris, which I think also might happen, because Cale Makar might end up with 90 points too.
Josi just needs to do a couple, you know, reverse pivot spin move. You know,
yeah,
some wacky stuff out
there.
We've
seen him do some things. He can dangle a little bit.
He can do. Oh, absolutely. Makar has just had a couple plays where you're just like, including one here. You're like, what?
And they're just bending time and space. Jim on the text line says, I wish the stadium series was against Dallas for the revenge factor, national attention and standings. It's coming from Jim. Wants a little payback from the Winter Classic a couple years ago.
I will say that I'd say the sports viewing slash hockey public at large probably finds Preds Lightning a little more appealing.
I would say so.
But I hear you.
It's also, in a way, it's hard to believe. I guess in a way it's not, because of where they're located. This is the first outdoor game for Tampa Bay ever. They've never played in an outdoor game before.
That's very surprising.
Yeah. Obviously, like, you're probably not making too many trips to Tampa for an outdoor game when it's 83 degrees down there.
They know
or whatever
what to do with that ice. They can figure it out.
They do.
Well, what's the? They've had one that was in the 70s.
Yeah,
right?
In L.A.
Yeah. Did fine.
Yeah. I mean, the technology is such that you can make it work. Now, probably by the end of that game, the ice is not great, but that's really every outdoor game. Like, the ice is not going to be as good as it is in an indoor rink.
I mean, think about the ice in the 2017 Stanley Cup Final. All the media from Pittsburgh was crying about it the entire time.
I know.
It was. It got a little choppy.
It
got a little sloshy in there late in games.
97 degrees and 112% humidity outside. So sometimes that happens. When we come back, we'll be joined by Preds defenseman Matthias Ekholm. We'll get his thoughts on the big win last night and the big week coming up for the Predators as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking a gigantic Preds win last night against the Florida Panthers. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com to go inside the locker room, brought to you by Gary Ashton, Remax Advantage, and Social Furniture. Stop by Social Furniture today and see their new sofas they just got in on Charlotte Avenue. Preds defenseman Matthias Ekholm joining us this morning. Matthias, what's going on? How are we doing?
Great. Just woke up, so it's good. Great win last night. Made it easy to come back, but it feels good to be back on track.
Absolutely. So, Matthias, to that point, what a game last night, wild back and forth. What was it like to be a part of that game, and what can a win like that in the fashion in which you won the game, what do you think that can do for your group moving forward here?
Yeah, I thought that couldn't have been written up any better, to be honest with you. Going down, four games in a row, and then come into this game, and you fall back right away, and fall back again. You get a call back on the goal. I think it's Cunny. And then just adversity throughout the game against, probably the best team in the league. So for our group, I thought it was a huge game. The way we responded all game long, it was kind of that determination where we weren't going to stop last night, and just kept battling, kept sticking our nose in there, and got rewarded in the end. But, but when you win in that kind of fashion, when you go down four games in a row, it tells you a lot about your group and that comes confidence going into the weekend.
Yeah, and how important is it, Matias, given what's ahead here? I mean, it's obviously a huge week just for the franchise, for hockey in Nashville. You know, huge events on the Peck Arena night Thursday, Stadium Series Saturday. These were going to be huge games anyway. These were going to be big moments anyway. But what does it mean to kind of get the losing streak over before you head into all these things?
Yeah, no, regardless, those games are going to be awesome. It's a once in a lifetime. You get to be part of Tracy Tigg is going to be emotional, I'm sure. And on top of that, we're playing the Elves, where it's a team that is the closest to us in the division. So it's a huge game just to start with. And then you add that on top, and then we get the first outside game out of Tennessee. So those games kind of build themselves. But it's obviously, it's a lot nicer beating the number one team coming into it than it would have been going five straight losses. So for us, it was, again, as I said earlier, it was a great game for us. I thought we really, even in the games we lost, I thought we had this guy that was going to be trouble in the first two. But overall, in the four, I think it wasn't maybe a lack of effort or lack of us playing really, really bad. I thought there were some good teams, and it's some talents there. But I think the mood in the room has been really high throughout the whole thing, and I think we showed that again yesterday. We played with confidence, and we just weren't going to lose that game. So for some reason, it was kind of that sound confidence on the bench, and knowing that now we have that in our back going into this week, and it's huge.
Matias Ekholm, Preds defenseman, on the line with us here on Robbie and Rex Road, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Matias, you know, we've talked to you this year about Tanner Jeannot and just the different elements that he brings to your team, but some big plays by him last night, obviously the shorthanded goal among them. Just the ability of a player that young to come up big in big-time moments, what do you think that says about him and what he could be for you guys as you move out the rest of this year here?
Yeah, that line was kind of the line that got us going yesterday. The Axe goal, too, was a really, really nice goal. And they got on there in the second and got us back in the game to tie a ball game. And, fell behind again. But, yeah, that was a really nice individual effort on that shorthanded goal. I think that was our first shorty, but on this year, too. So good for a shorthanded unit to get that on the way. But he's been lights out the whole year. You don't really... What strikes me about him is that you don't really think about how young he is. He feels like he's been in the league forever. He's so mature. He handles himself so good and just takes care of everything that a veteran does in this league. And it's really cool to see how he's just become a rock-solid player on our lineup. He can play any situation. The other night he was on the 6-on-5 unit scoring goals, and he's killing penalties. He's scoring on the shorthand of these great player 5-on-5. He can hit. He can do it all. It's been awesome to watch, and that line has been really good, and him particularly.
Like you said, first shorthand goal. Also, Colton Sissons, 16-for-16 in the faceoff circle, which has never happened for this franchise. That line, as you mentioned, Matias, they were big. They've been big so often. What's it been like to see them come together like this, and how dependent are you guys on all the different things those guys can do? And, of course, Trenton with big plays as well.
Yeah, and you look at the game yesterday, we go down 3-1, and they literally bring us back right away. I think they scored two in the same shift there. Just the way they play, they're so moral. I mean, I practice against them, and I know it's always the right things. They never cheat in the game. I feel like they're just so honest out there, and it's hard to get any versus them. And when pushing in corners, those guys are pretty big, and they have the size, and they have the the strength to just out-muscle guys and get the puck back. So they complement each other really well, and they build chemistry, and that's really important for a line, too, to just, just clicking together. And they really have. They're three really, really good players, and last night they got to show it firsthand.
Matias, what do you think tomorrow is going to be like for guys like you and Roman, who have been around here for so long? You spent so much time with Pecorine as a person, as a teammate, all these different things. To watch him get his number retired and for 35 to go up in the rafters, what do you think tomorrow is going to be like from your standpoint?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't really, when the season gets going, it's so many games and you're just focusing on the next game. Now that game is the next game, and it's been something that we've been really excited about, obviously, but it's like it's been so far ahead. And I drove Roman home yesterday after we landed, and we were kind of talking about it. I mean, I've never been a part of anything like it. Nobody has here in Nashville, and it's going to be, I'm sure it's going to be really emotional. I'm sure it's going to bring back a lot of memories. Super happy for Peck. He deserves it so much, and I'm so happy that they're doing it. And but for myself, I really don't know what to expect. I watched a Lundqvist retirement earlier this year, and I thought that was really awesome, even though I only played a few games with him, and I don't really have a personal connection that way with him. But with Peck, it's different. So open-minded about it. I'm sure it's going to be emotional, but at the end of the day, it's a celebration, and it's going to be really awesome for him to see, get the love from the city and from the crowd.
And Matias, Bally Sports broadcast last night, they had a clip with you talking, and I'm sure a lot of you guys have been interviewed, about Pecorine. But you mentioned that he was huge for you early in your career as you were coming up. What did he do for you as a young player in this league? And what was it like to play with him all those years?
Well, this is one of the things me and Roman actually talked about yesterday. It was like everyone has always said about Nashville how it just seems to be defensemen popping up everywhere and how great we are at developing defensemen. But what's the biggest reason for that? It's probably Peck, to be honest with you. It's you got to have a good goalie because all defensemen, I don't think there's a defenseman that's perfect, and you're going to have mistakes and turnovers and all that. And to know that you have that kind of guy behind you that's going to stand in there and cover for you and make up for your mistakes, especially early in your career, I can't speak volumes of it. That's probably the first part of it, but the second part is also the guy that he is coming. He's coming from Europe, I'm from Europe, knowing that when I got over here, all of these things like get comfortable, and you knew he was a guy that you could always go to, no matter he was in the league for probably 6-7 years before I got in, but you could always talk to him about stuff, and there's some differential stuff when you come from Europe too, like off ice, that you can bet yourself out, some stuff goes on, some side roles and all that, but he's always been great to me. He's always been great to everyone you talk to. I mean, he's such a humble guy and always takes care of everybody he wants to, but just feel part of it and be good. But I think that's just why everyone thinks he's so deserving of getting this recognition.
Matias, last thing for you here. Obviously, a game to take care of in the meantime, but what do you think Saturday is going to be like here in Nashville at Nissan Stadium? Obviously, you guys played in an outdoor game a couple years ago at the Cotton Bowl, but different this time in your home city. What do you think that's going to be like coming up on Saturday?
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. Hopefully, we can get the rain to go away, but other than that, it's really a cool event. It's really cool. It's special. For us, every game is big right now, but the game itself is big. But just to have that many people, we never get to do that, right? The arenas that we play in are about 20,000 max, which is awesome. But to go out and have a full Nissan Stadium like this, it's going to be pretty cool. Just the event itself, with whether it's the concert and the intermissions or what have you, it's going to be pretty cool. And it's one thing I've learned over my years here is that whenever there's a special event or kind of like a party, Nashville always shows up. So super excited about it. Hopefully we can do our part on the ice, and I'm sure the fans will do their part in the stands.
Absolutely. Matias Ekholm, Preds defenseman, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Matias, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, and good luck coming up tomorrow against Dallas.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Absolutely. Okay. You as well. Matias Ekholm, our guest for Inside the Locker Room, brought to you by Gary Ashton, RE/MAX Advantage, and Social Furniture. Stop by Social Furniture today and see their new sofas they just got in on Charlotte Avenue. We'll come back. We'll react to what Ekholm had to say there. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds fans, join us for Smashville Live tonight on 102.5 The Game with special guests Pecorine, Scott Hartnell, and Chris Mason. What a trio that is. Pecorine, Scott Hartnell, and Chris Mason. The show airs on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m. featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. Be sure to join us this hockey season for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Thanks to Matias Ekholm for joining us in the last segment. That is interesting. It's interesting that he said that, you know, him and Roman Josi were talking about it on the way home last night after the game of, you know, like, what's this going to be like coming up on Thursday? That is something they've never had to experience before. They've seen a lot of stuff. They never have seen something quite like this.
I mean, lots of tribute videos.
I've seen a lot of
They've seen some banner raisings. Oh, have they seen some banner raisings?
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is different. I mean, this is obviously going to be a big deal. That's the thing. They're on the team, but they're just like everybody else. I'm sure they're like, what is this going to be like?
Yeah.
Maybe some of their interviews will be interspersed in there. But they're just like us trying to – I mean, this is quite an hour long. Ceremony is
you got to get there early.
Significant tomorrow. Man. Yeah.
Do we know if they're going to live stream it if people aren't there or anything?
I think they are. I think it's going to be broadcasted.
Good, because I don't have tickets. So
I mean, yeah, it's on the. I mean, it's on the Bally.
Bally will have.
Yeah, it's on. It'll be on. It'll be televised.
The entire hour tribute.
I think so.
I think so. Yeah.
Wow. I guess I didn't realize that.
I can double check that, but I'm pretty sure.
So. 6 to 7, and then I guess Bally would do regular pregame, 7 to 7:30, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
It's going to be a big night. When Joe Rexrode and Robbie Stanley show up in the press row at the same time, it's going to be a big night.
Oh, boy.
We know that.
Watch out.
Jordan on the text line says, let's hope one of our players doesn't get absolutely blasted on Saturday during the game like Ellis did versus Dallas. I will say.
You know who's there.
You know who's going to be playing in this game, right? Corey Perry, now a member of the Tampa Bay Lightning.
But he hasn't been playing? He hasn't been playing?
No, he's played.
Oh, okay.
It was weird because I looked at his game log, and he hadn't played since the 15th. And I was like, that's a long time. Why has he not played since the 15th?
Because they hadn't
And then
played.
I looked at the calendar, yeah. And apparently Tampa Bay's just been sitting there the last 8 days, which is interesting. But they play tonight against Edmonton, and then they're off Thursday, Friday, and they play against the Preds on Saturday.
They'll be well-rested coming in here.
Maybe too well-rested coming in here. We've seen this work both ways. Although, with that team, like, they've been through pretty much everything at this point. They'll be fine.
They'll probably be pretty good at hockey.
I think it's got a good chance to be a really good game coming up on Saturday. Good game tomorrow,
Don't
too.
Don't get ahead of yourself. Now,
look, I'm allowed to get ahead of myself.
You're looking past.
I'm allowed to do it. My grandmother texting in says, tell Michelle good choice on music today. There you go.
Nice. Along.
That is one of the best compliments I've ever gotten.
I like it.
Thank you, Martha.
We all like CCR.
Thank you, Martha.
Appreciate it.
I am the CCR's newest, biggest fan, except I just listened to the one Rain song on repeat.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's way more. Good ones. Yeah, get you know, Green River.
When I find a song I like, though, I will just listen to it.
Just
like,
wear it in the ground.
Yeah, and then I won't like it anymore. But
yeah, okay. You don't want to do that. Yeah.
But I still will.
Yeah.
Fleetwood Mac Everywhere, also a good one. Also, a song that can get overplayed.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. I'm going to keep overplaying it for you, Joe.
It's fine.
I'm interested to see how this goes tomorrow. Obviously, we're going to spend a lot of time tomorrow talking about the Predators and Pecorine and his jersey retirement and all that. You know, we'll take your favorite Pecorine moments tomorrow as well, but it's going to be a really cool environment. Like, there have been, you know, different environments at Bridgestone for different events. Like, obviously, the first Stanley Cup final game was one of the coolest things I've ever seen, with the people out in the street and the environment inside the arena was great. Like, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be, you know, just a different type of environment. I don't know that we've seen one exactly like this, though. Like, the thing that I guess is really the closest thing I can think of that's really not even all that close is the first time, I guess, Shea Weber came back with Montreal. Like, there was a – it was a game, but there was also a feeling of, like, all right, well, there's your former captain who I would still contend is probably the second most popular player of all time in your the history of your franchise. And it was almost like a, well, we didn't get a chance to say goodbye, so here's our appreciation to you. Again, tomorrow's not going to be like that, but that's the closest thing I can think of.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, look, the atmospheres for those Stanley Cup final guys are really like that entire playoff run at home. I mean, the two games against the Blackhawks, you know, you can't manufacture that kind of atmosphere, but I think it's going to be special in there. Look, I think that last year, kind of impromptu, but his farewell, when we, even though we didn't know for sure, it was like, man, that would work pretty well as your farewell. The way that all went after the game was pretty awesome. A lot of good choices.
A lot of good choices. Going to be a special environment tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texting in says, Robbie talking about the Cup final atmosphere on 5th and Broadway just gave me chills again. It's coming from Nate on the text line. It's pretty awesome.
Remember that that day I went really early, dropped my stuff off at Press Row, and then I walked around because I wanted to, you know, just see some stuff and write about some stuff. And, man, did I see some stuff out there.
You did.
And including, you know, of course, the like the bachelorette parties that no idea. Now, it wasn't quite like
What's going on?
It wasn't quite like the NFL draft, where it became like a TV news thing.
It's amazing.
That's still a gif on Twitter.
Yeah.
But definitely there were some – bachelorette parties that were like, what is this?
Why can our pedal taverns not move? Why are we being blocked?
But you're talking just wall-to-wall people and 100 degrees. And, boy, that was quite a time.
I mean, that's on the short list of things I think of when I think of Pekka's career. You know, I remember there was back in the day, I mean, you had – your franchise that, you know, 4 years prior had almost been sold and moved to Canada. And there was a big discussion point that year of, all right, Pekka Rinne's contract's up, Shea Weber's contract's about to be up, and Ryan Suter's contract is about to be up. And we thought it could be like this whole big thing all season long, which with two of them it was. Pekka, about 4 weeks into the season, said, you know what? Yeah, I'll sign. He signed 7 years, $49 million contract. He was kind of like the first homegrown superstar, I guess, that says, you know what, this is where I want to be. Like, even Shea ended up playing here, and he got traded, so it wasn't his choice to leave. He did sign an offer sheet with another organization. Now, again, people, and we could get
got
into
paid.
A rabbit hole on this, about how, well, he wanted to leave the Predators. No, he wanted to sign a 14-year contract, which he's still getting paid on right now,
right,
to not play hockey.
Flyers, right?
So, yeah. So, it wasn't as simple as Shea wanted out. But I say that to say, Pekka was really the first, I guess, homegrown superstar that they had that said, you know what, this is my place. I'm going to be here long term. I don't know, like, you know, obviously it's rare nowadays in sports for a player of his caliber to spend as long as he did in one spot. I'm not saying we'll never see it again. It's extremely rare what Pekka Rinne did here in the city.
Yeah.
Extremely rare.
Yeah. I mean, you're more likely to see that in this league than some other leagues,
yes.
But still, that's a long time. Was he mad at Ryan Suter too? Like, was Pekka, or were they mad at Ryan Suter?
I don't remember them saying anything about it, but I'm sure they weren't thrilled about it. Now, as I've said many times, worked out pretty well for the Predators.
It did.
He left. Some guy named Roman Josi filled that shoe and worked out okay.
Yeah, but he'll still get booed every chance they get around him.
Which, by the way, he will be here tomorrow. Ryan Suter can witness this thing. How about that? Ryan Suter, Shea Weber, Pekka Rinne, all the same spot.
All together again. Yeah.
Who would have thought of that?
That's so because it's such a celebration night, will it be less venom toward Ryan Suter? Or
no.
Because it's like all this emotion, it'll be like even he'll get a little bit more.
It's going to be awesome because every time Radulov touches the puck, he's just going to get absolutely booed.
Yeah.
And every time, like, those are like two people Predators fans just hate, is Radulov and Suter. And they're both on the same team tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be something.
And, of course, Radulov got him pretty good a couple years ago.
Yeah, he did. He's pretty good.
He is. No, he's
not quite player. The same now as he used to be, but he's pretty good. So going to be a very interesting dynamic tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. We'll be here to talk all about it tomorrow morning. Joe Rexroad, very well dressed, heading to the Pecorine Luncheon today.
Pecorine Luncheon?
Yeah.
I think Shea Weber will be there and all kinds of, you know, what is it? Is C. Mace, like, emceeing? C. Mace and Hal? Are they chucking bags? Like, I mean, it sounds, all kinds of hijinks could be happening here.
Could be. It's going to be quite something. Rexroad will be the best dressed person at the event.
I do have a sport coat also.
Yeah.
Hanging in the car right now, so don't you worry, buddy.
That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donick and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.